This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Our back-to-school series continues over the next couple of weeks. A lot of interviews with area school superintendents and other education leaders. Superintendent Erica Bear of South Umpqua School District, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
So when did your school year begin?
So we started just this past Monday was our first day of school.
How'd it go?
It went really, really well. We had a phenomenal day, and it was super exciting to get all of our kids back on campus, bringing that special energy.
Is it always a little, are you a little nervous on the first day?
Well, you can always anticipate that we're not going to know all of the things until the kids show up. So it's always an exciting time, always a lot of nerves, just making sure that we have everything ready to go. But all of the preparation paid off, and things went really well.
And this at South Umpqua is year three?
Year three for me, that's right.
So for this school year, for the district, do you have anything new in particular going on?
Yeah, so something that we are really excited about is we have launched our Waypoint program, which is a hybrid learning opportunity for students who would like to have the flexibility of online instruction but want that support of folks right here locally. So they can come in person or they can work fully online and they have the full wraparound support and ability to participate in some of the classes on campus if that is something they want to do. So that those doors open this past week as well for the first time and has been really successful so far, and we're super excited about it.
Now, is that for all grade levels or just a certain part?
Thank you. Yeah, it's grades 6 through 12. So it's for our secondary students. Grades 6 through 12 can participate in the Waypoint program.
And are you feeling like sort of this hybrid aspect is going to become maybe more popular?
You know, I think we're seeing that more and more families and students are wanting that flexibility of online instruction. And for us, we know that families also really need that support of folks right here in the community who can do some of those wraparound supports, folks who can get help on some of those assignments in real life, in person, and have some of those supports as well, along with the ability to, you know, participate in band or some of those other electives and all of those really important culminating events like prom and graduation and some of those school events. So I don't know if it's the wave of the future, but that is the direction that we certainly see it going in South Umpqua. So we're wanting to make sure that we have a space that's really going to be supportive and what the community is asking for right now.
Well, it seemed like it would be have an advantage over an online format where you're instructions coming from Los Angeles or whatever, and you really never interact with any of your instructors, you know, other than just virtually.
That's right. And I think, you know, one of the real benefits of being in a place like South Umpqua is we have really strong connections and family ties with everyone in the community. And so we want them working with folks who are known, who are invested in the community, and who can really wrap around and support these students who are, we want it to be local, right here at home, folks coming together, supporting our kids. So there is a big advantage to having the educators right here locally, and students can come in and talk to them, or, you know, they can hop on a Zoom screen and again, talk to someone who's known, familiar, and is really versed in what each individual student needs and is working on.
As far out as some of the boundaries go for South Umpqua, is there any issues with trying to do this in terms of folks not having the best internet?
We have a plan for that. We haven't run into it yet, but if folks do struggle with internet connectivity, we have some tools that we can provide to help them get connected.
So as the school year begins, do you have any new leadership staff you want to highlight?
Yeah, so we have a phenomenal new athletic director, Aaron Muhick, who has come to us from Silverton. He was a teacher coach there, and he has been head coach of multiple sports and also assistant athletic director at the university level. He brings a wealth of experience and already has hit the ground running, and he's been a tremendous addition to our team and really helping our students learn life skills through athletics. So we're thrilled about that. And then we also have Chris Lofton has transitioned from the assistant principal to principal position at Coffinberry Middle School. And so we're super excited about that. He's bringing a lot of energy, a lot of school spirit, a lot of school pride to Coffinberry. And so we're really excited to see that as well.
And anybody else?
Those are our new leadership folks. We also have Anita Pacheco has joined us in student services. She had been with us previously, went to Roseburg for a brief time, and we were super excited to get her back home in South Umpqua supporting student services. So that's been another great addition to our team. And then we had 10 new teachers this year joining at various buildings throughout the district. So they're also bringing a wealth of skill and experience.
So is that more than usual, or does it just vary a lot?
You know, it's actually quite a bit less than usual. We're a pretty large campus, and so are a pretty large district, relatively speaking, in this area. And so we have historically had closer to anywhere from 17 to 25 new teachers, and this year we're down to 10, which we have made a real concerted effort to make sure that we're retaining the phenomenal educators that we have by providing an environment that is supportive and making sure that they have all the resources that they need. So I'm excited to report that our retention is improving, and the teachers, once we hire these fabulous people, they stay with us.
Now, you mentioned some from out of town, but are you getting some more from around the Umpqua Valley as well?
Yeah, no. So we've gotten a number of these folks are from within Douglas County, just coming from some of the other local districts in the area. Very few of them are actually from out of town. A lot of Douglas County folks finding their home in South Umpqua.
What about summer learning? What did you do over the summer?
Yeah, so we had two exceptional summer learning programs. We had a literacy camp for grades 1 through 5 that really focused on supporting students with improving and expanding their literacy skills, along with a whole lot of fun. So they had some phenomenal opportunities to spend time at the library and wildlife safari and all kinds of great, exciting things. And they all grew in their reading, which was awesome. We also did an expanded Kinder jump start. So we actually had 4 weeks of half days for our incoming kindergarten students to get really oriented to school and also spend some time working on those literacy skills, those skills that we call it kindergarten readiness, that really helps them be ready on that first day of kindergarten. And again, saw some tremendous growth and had a wonderful time getting our kindergartners used to our campuses.
For kindergartners, is it kind of scary when they first come to school from their perspective?
Yeah, I think it, you know, varies. Some of them have preschool experience. For some of them, this is their first time ever. A lot of them have, you know, older siblings, so they've just been chomping at the bit waiting to get their turn to come to school. So it really varies based on their experience. But regardless, the kindergarten teachers are really, really skilled at helping alleviate any nerves that students might have and helping them get comfortable really quick. And what we did see is because over 50% of our incoming students participated, that first day of school were there were far fewer tears and students were feeling much more comfortable on that first day, as did their parents and caregivers as they were dropping them off.
Over the summer, did you do some projects at some of the buildings?
Yeah, we did. We had some big projects happening in some of our buildings. We completed the exterior fencing to the high school, so that's now a fully enclosed campus, which was an important safety upgrade for us. We also installed a new basketball/perhaps pickleball court at the middle school at Coffinberry, which we're really excited about. And then a lot of interior building upgrades and repairs as well.
And we'll talk more about buildings in South Umpqua and other topics when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Outside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1, the back-to-school series on Inside Douglas County. Superintendent Eric Appere of South Umpqua School District. We were just talking about buildings and security before the break. One of the things with South Umpqua, we've got a lot of old buildings. How are they holding up?
We sure do. So Canyonville School, which is our K-8 in Canyonville, is 90 years old. And Coffinberry, our middle school, is 80 years old. And our other two elementary schools are both around 70 years old. So we have lots of struggles with our older buildings. And happily, we have a very skilled and passionate maintenance team who keeps everything running and operational and safe for our kids. But we are always holding our breath a little bit that all of those really aged systems like plumbing and electrical will continue to function for us, because obviously when you're working with buildings that old, there's always a concern that there's going to be some kind of malfunction, and they aren't things that can be very easily fixed because they would all be very invasive projects. So it's something that we spend a lot of time and worry on, but right now everything is functioning relatively well.
Well, I think about older houses, and then you just sort of, you know, paint a bigger picture of what if, when you've got an older building, I mean, it wasn't designed for half the things you're doing in it now.
That's true. And so even if we just think about the electrical systems, you know, when these buildings were built in the 30s and 40s, it wasn't on the radar that, you know, we'd have a smart board and computers and smart carts and all of the things that we use every day and take for granted in education. And so the systems are simply not built for it. And then you add in things like heating and air conditioning systems and all of those pieces. There's a consistent and constant strain and just the quantity of use. When we think about plumbing and how old those systems are and how fragile they are, and the amount of use they get is far more than anyone would have ever anticipated when building these buildings all those years ago.
So how, when you look down the road a ways, I mean, do you look at replacing some of these buildings?
We would love to have the opportunity to significantly upgrade or do major remodels on some of these buildings. And in some cases, even replace. But all of those are, of course, significant capital projects that the way that schools are funded through the state, we don't have the funds to do. So we're just consistently looking at the best possible option with what we have to keep things moving along at this point.
And I know that's one of the factors that maybe everybody doesn't always understand, is that you get money from the state for the educational side. Running the rest of the place, not so much.
Right. There's very limited, if any, support for schools around facility upgrades and making sure that our facilities stay functional. And so we largely rely on community support for those pieces. And happily, South Umpqua has been very responsible with its finances through the years and done some really conservative spending. So we are in a reasonably stable place financially, certainly in comparison to all of our neighbor, you know, compared to what's happening across the rest of the state. We're in a really good spot, and yet we still would not have the funds to do the work that would be required in some of these buildings to start from new or even do a replacement of, say, a plumbing system.
So how's enrollment compared to recent years?
Yeah, so our enrollment is down a little bit. It has been going down consistently for the last while. We are about 100 students down from 4 years ago. And so that has a significant impact for us. We are right around what I projected this, you know, in the spring of last year, but it is down for us. So we are hoping that we'll get more kids walking through the door.
Do you feel like this is maybe, though, a long-term trend with just the statistics that show that families are having less kids?
Yeah, I think it is a trend. It is impacting not just us, but all of the other districts across Oregon are seeing similar things. And so, and I think there's a couple things impacting, but certainly there is a trend towards fewer kids in school, in public school.
So what about your board? What kind of things are they involved in this year?
They are doing the important work that they do every year, which is really making sure that we have the appropriate policies in place and that we are governing our schools fairly. And they do a lot of work to build community support and make sure that the community knows what's happening and is gathering input from them and sharing that back with us so that we can lead in a way that is supportive to what the community is looking for and hoping for.
So after being there a few years, you kind of get a broader picture of everything over time. Are there things that you'd like to add, programs or things that you'd like to be able to do that you currently aren't able to do?
You know, I think for us, when I first came, my top priority was to improve the academic skills that our students were leaving with and focusing particularly on third grade literacy. And we have more than doubled the number of students that are reading on grade level at third grade. And so what we're doing right now is working. We are on the right path. We are headed in the right direction. And so this year we are really focusing on how do we continue to get better at and continue to go deeper on those things we know really, really work to improve student outcomes. And so we are laser focused on that and making sure that every student is getting what they need to thrive, both academically and emotionally. And that is where we're putting all of our attention. So we're being kind of avoiding anything significantly new or different because the strategic plan that we outlined in last year was year one of the strategic plan. We're going into year two. We are sticking to that because we are seeing that that path is getting us closer to the outcomes that we're looking for.
What do you think the biggest challenges this year are going to be?
You know, I think the biggest challenges that we face in the year ahead are really around some of the things that you mentioned. We are in a period of declining enrollment. We do have some real significant facility challenges ahead of us. And so weathering those while maintaining economic stability for our schools is really what we are paying the most attention to right now. So how can we adjust and make sure that we're making good decisions that will have make sure that there's the least possible impact on students as we see our funding shift, as we have fewer students, and also as we need to do what we need to do to keep our facilities going.
What about bright spots around the district you want to mention?
Oh my gosh, there's so many bright spots across the district. I think, you know, as I mentioned, we're thrilled with the progress our students are making around literacy. So more than doubling the number of students who are reading at third grade is incredible. We also saw a decrease in the number of students who were chronically absent across the district. So that was very exciting for us. Watching Coffinberry has some very exciting things happening. They're doing a literacy block for all of their students, and also in addition to their language arts class, and also doing a lot to increase the pride and excitement about being at Coffinberry and being a Hornet. And so that's been really, really fun to watch. Lots of really exciting things happening.
So got about a minute left in Inside Douglas County. Talk about what led to you being an educator and how you've gotten to here.
So I am the oldest of three, and I'm significantly older than my siblings. So they suffered through plain school more than they would ever imagine. I've always wanted to be an educator. I started as a special education teacher and did that for many years, taught all grade levels, and then had the opportunity to transition into school leadership and worked at the high school level as an assistant principal and principal for many years, elementary principal, and then student services, special education director, assistant superintendent, and now have the opportunity to do this awesome work in South Umpqua. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey. I've loved every single job that I've had in education.
All right, Superintendent Eric Abaro of South Umpqua School District on the Back to School series on Inside Douglas County. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News.